Blog Talk Radio.
To you again with Punch TV Studio. Again, it's my pleasure to welcome you to the pastors for Punch TV Studio. And it's no surprise, you know who we have as our guest, author Dr. Velma Union. Part three is the church, the church. This show is brought to you by Punch TV Studio, our CEO, Joseph Collins, and I am the host. I have, since I've been doing this show, have appreciated every pastor, apostle, prophet, and those that have labored to come on my show to give valuable input about their history, their lives, of where God brought them from. But I tell you something that I am loving, just why the show was created in the mind of our CEO, because he has a heart for the history of churches, and not only black churches, but you know, we are a black community and we do need to know from whence and what the Bible says about us. And this woman of God has laid out a foundational book that you cannot deny the biblical principles that she has taken her time to put in it. I didn't know it was so deep. I'm reading and I'm finding stuff out, and I'm going to say, my goodness, this is something that everybody need to have, not just blacks. We need the Hispanics, we need the whites, we need the Japanese, we need the body of Christ to look at something here, because she has diligently went beyond the call. I can't say the call of duty, because it was her responsibility as a called woman to find out the truth. We have believed a lie for a long time. I was thinking about something. I said, when something is fake and you could be following it so long, when the real thing comes, you need to know that it's real. And I understand some things that look like it's real and you just shuffling through life trying to find the real thing. You thought you had the right man, you thought you had the right car, you thought you had the right monetary goods, the money was fake, your man was fake, everything, you fake. <Whoa. laughs> But when you come into something that's the truth, because the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. When he opens up your eyes, he shows you something, there is no undeniable place that you can run and hide and say, I didn't know, because now, like the Bible said, he's revealing. This is an hour of revelation, manifestation, where God is saying full proof of who I am, what I said, the origin, why I'm here, why you're here, who is God, who is Christ, who is the Holy Spirit. Why are you in the era of dispensation of mercy and grace? Because when they leave, there will be no mercy and grace for you to hang on to their twins when they are gone with the body of Christ, when he has taken his bride. You will not have an excuse. So I said this to say, is the church a book that is being available for you? And we have our author, Dr. Velmo Union, on the line. And with that being said, I quoted, and I have something on my Facebook, something on this particular topic that I looked into the book, and I said, she's got to talk about this today. Chapter 4, Hysterical Leadership in the Black Churches, subtitle, Black Women in Leadership, page 78, page 79. I said, oh, my God, she didn't open up my head. She didn't open up my mind. So I'm calling my black brothers and saying, listen, I'm calling my black brothers and saying, you better make sure you get the right partner. You better make sure you get the right wife, because you need to have somebody that's going to go the long haul with you. And because survival has to do with a husband and a wife and them being together. But this book is going to show you some things about how the family has been separated and why God's plan that he ordained has been so forcefully fought against. You talk about, okay, homosexuality. You talk about lesbians. You talk about incarceration. You talk about birth control. All these things that have abortions have come against us to prevent what God has placed in order. Dr. Velmo Union, I know you're here. I'm not going to ask you that, but I'm going to have to say this is your platform today. And I explained to you, I don't know how many people listen to our show. It doesn't matter to me because I know what we're doing is God, but I do know one of our sponsors, ePastors Network, has put an e-blast out, has put the name of your book and the author, and it is assimilated to 10,000 pastors across the nation and over 15 million homes. So wherever it may hit and whenever it comes, I'm grateful because God has made a way for this to be heard. The platform is yours now, and thank you again for coming on.
You know what? I am grateful to God, too. And one thing God told me a long time ago, Joy, is that if it works well, I did it. So
yes.
I'm very grateful. And I know that this book has a lot of nuggets in it and a lot of foundational principles. And if we get those, then I know how it's changed my life. So I imagine that I know that God is no respecter of persons. And in his time, he will make all things beautiful. And we have to believe that and operate in faith. So it's a pleasure to talk with you and to share with your audience what God has given me. I'm a teacher kind of naturally, and I've studied a lot, and I still study a lot. I'll be one of my friends. Actually, it was one of my family members told me once, "You're going to be a lifetime student." I said, "Yes, I intend to," because, again, and I think I said this yesterday, the more I know, the more I know I don't know. But what I am sure of, that God gives us what we need in order to do what God sent us here to do. And my desire is to do that, is to do what God sent me here to do. And, you know, it's funny that you would zero in on that particular section of the book, because there's lots of conversation about leadership, training. I mean, I've read from top to bottom and studied and listened to videos and, you know, everybody from Tony Robbins to Dr. Schuller and my professors at seminary, Dr. Schuller, who's deceased now, who, and the reason his name comes up is because Dr. Schuller was, he taught the course at Fuller called Women in Ministry and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those courses that, you know, you have this need to know something, because as I grew up, I'm like, okay, God don't like black people, he don't like women, and he don't like poor people. I mean, that was
yeah.
my thought, because it's like, didn't seem like any of them were blessed or free
yeah.
in Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm saying something is wrong here, and I don't quite know what that is, but it's just not filtering through. But when he
okay.
taught that course, I think I mentioned it before, we had Women in Ministry in the Bible, and we had Afrocentric Biblical Hermeneutics. That means understanding the Bible and how it's written, and from a black or an Afrocentric perspective. And I was like, so the black person is all right, and the female person is all right, and poverty, I was an accountant, so I was making all kind of good money, and I saw all kinds of money. And God was like, so all of those things are not negatives. They are a part of your identity and a part of your purpose. And we talked yesterday about stewardship. So the
yeah.
quality of our stewardship determines how well we live our life. But I,
mm-hmm.
the Black Women in Leadership section, and I'm like, okay, this is a major workshop all by itself, because of, oftentimes we don't know how, we don't get the original interpretations from Scripture. And when people translated it, God
mm-hmm.
permit, God gave the Scripture. It was inspired by God for inspiration, for reproof, correction, so that we can move from where we were. Romans 2:12-2 talks about be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm like, okay, so what do we do with that? That
mm-hmm.
means that a lot of the things we know, and particularly African American, this is Black History Month, so we need to understand that the history here is not the beginning or the end of our history. It is just a segment of it. And it's a segment of American history that's ignored. And I think that's because people are ashamed of the culture. And if I'm going to keep you down, I have to take your identity. And as we begin to understand that, like, if you don't know who you are, you'll do anything. And if you have a problem with who you are, where you came from, those are identity issues. And I know a lot of times when we ask men, what, you know, who are you? They'll start telling us about their work. We ask women, they'll start telling us about their family or their work
mm-hmm.
nowadays, because it's all just kind of spread across. But it's amazing that we don't know our identity. And one of my absolute favorite words that I learned in seminary was imago Dei. And it's a
What's
Latin
that
word
again?
For the imago, I-M-A-G-O, Dei.
Oh.
And that's like image of God. Imago is Latin for image. Dei, obviously,
mm-hmm.
is the first few letters of deity. And we're made
now,
in
you know,
image
that's
of
on
deity.
Page 78. That's page 78. I'm looking at that.
Yeah, 78, 79, yeah. So as we begin to really know who we are, then we can begin to conquer and understand really how black people have survived in this country because
mm-hmm.
of slavery and because of the fact that they stole us from different countries in the middle. I mean, we know all the negatives about black history. We know how jacked up we are because none of us are pure, nothing anymore except pure, filled by the Holy Ghost when we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us and to purge out all of the thoughts that are in our minds and in our hearts that are not of God. So if we know, okay, I'm a child of God, I made in God's image, the image of deity, imago Dei, then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm a real question asker to God. And I'm saying, okay, well, if that's the case, if we can do all things, why aren't people doing it? He said, because they choose not to. And I'm like, huh? Choose not to? And if you don't know who you are, then you'll do things that are not within your character. If you knew that you were made in the image of God, and if you knew that in the end of this, at the end of this life, such as it is, you're going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell based on your choices, well, I think that will put a different spin on things. At least it did for me, and I can't speak for everyone, but I can certainly speak for Velma. As a female leader who just happens to be black and happens to have the gift of leadership and encouragement, then God has showed me that a big part of the challenge, and I'm going to read this from the book, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, God created humanity together. Now, that takes a little thinking, but we're going to do some direct courses on it at some point later. So hopefully some of your audience will want to know more and will be interested in coming and or calling so that they can benefit from the real understanding of creation of both male and female, and not the patriarchal, which is male-dominated view or perspective, or not the Americanized view, which makes us slaves and chattel and property. If we can just get past that, then, and that's a lot to get past now, don't get it twisted, because it's been going on for 400 years. But if we can allow God to break through, and I think I mentioned this the other day, that God told me he has to excavate himself out of us, because the Spirit of God is in us, has no gender, but we gotta, rather than call it, we'll call it a person. Then that particular spirit is there to guide us, but we have to get to it. And how do we get through it? We have to get blasted into the Spirit. He tells us in Scripture that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we're dirt. We were made with dirt, shaped with dirt, our body was. But we didn't do anything. We weren't alive until God breathed into us the breath of life, which was himself. And that's where our spirit is located. It's on the inside. And as we allow the Holy Spirit on the outside to draw us, and we connect, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, then we're able to know who we are. So identity is a big thing. But I wrote a section in here which I would like to read, if that's okay with you.
No, what page? Because I want to follow you.
I'm on page 79, I think. I think we have the same publication.
On 79, okay.
Uh-huh.
What paragraph?
And it's the middle where it starts with historically.
I got that on the notes in the on the show. Yes. Okay. Go ahead and read that.
All right. It says historically, a black male slave was either castrated to prevent him from procreating, and thereby be of value only as chattel, or he was assigned the status of a stud and used for sexual reproduction, like some type of animal. Either designation was intended to destroy his dignity as a man. A black male stud was valued by how many healthy babies he could produce with black slave women. Now, I'm going to just put a pin right there for a second, because they didn't think that they were going to wind up sleeping with Missy Ann and produce a whole other set of dynamics, but we won't get into that. That's another conversation.
Missy Ann.
That's the mother in the house. Ooh. Missy Ann is the great white mother, which this is since slavery times now, and
okay,
we've got to realize. So I want to make that clear. We're not talking about today, because there's all kinds of stuff going on today, and it's okay. People have a choice. But anyway, either designation was intended to destroy the dignity of a black man. And if a man without dignity is not very much of a man at all. A black male stud was valued by how many babies? I'm repeating. But he was not expected to carry any of the responsibilities and privileges that usually accompany reproduction, like fatherhood, like feeding your kids, like protecting your kids, protecting your wife. The stud made babies, not families. The slave owner never considered God's family plan. So perhaps things like pimps and hoes in the street came out of or is one of the offspring of that particular mentality that was forced on our black men. The black woman was also objectified, meaning she's just an object for my use or my benefit. Her value depended on her ability to place to please a man sexually, produce baby slaves, and perform domestic chores. However, the black woman usually did not abandon her children regardless because she had to nurse them. The Bible calls it suck. She had to let them be nurtured from her breast. So they brought them around. And if the kids had to leave, it was because the slave master took them away. The man never even had that responsibility to begin with. So there was no bond. And that's a big part of the problem that we have as women. Yes, okay. Men and women. We got absentee fathers, and all of them don't necessarily want to be, but they don't know how to provide, and they haven't been trained by another man on how to be a man and how to provide and how to protect. So, therefore, their capacity is limited. And boy, that leaves black women out. Because I even asked God one time, Joy, okay, God, so do you not love black women? Is that it? And I could just hear him saying, girl, you are really a trip. But because I'm thinking we don't have men to provide and protect for us in the same quantity as other nationalities of people, other cultures, more so than nationalities. Yeah. And but God was like, no, this is what happened. The choices and the indoctrination and the culture that was handed to us as a people is still in domination in many of our communities and still controlling that mindset without really understanding. I want to do a workshop for young men about planting your seed in gardens that you can't manage. Meaning, when you have sex with a young woman, is it one you want to marry? Is it one you want to stay with to raise your kids? Is it one you want to raise? Think about with your heart, not your body and your physical parts, who you have sex with. But that's a whole nother topic, so you can tell I'm full of stuff today, right?
Yes.
But, you know, and I want to lighten it up because this can get real heavy. But furthermore, she didn't. Yeah. So this.
Why you
want to
lighten it up?
Well, because it's hard for people to take. It's like, look. I mean, I because confrontation. I termed a new word called carefront. If I care about you, I won't come against you in my statement to you about what I'm seeing and feeling. I will do it in a way that's loving and kind. And that's where our term love works comes from. So it's not confront, meaning come against you. It means I'm carefully depicting for you what I see. And if you can take that, we can go further. If you can't, then I have to leave it alone and leave it up to God, which ultimately God's going to do what God's going to do anyway. Does that make sense? So that's why I want to lighten it up.
Okay.
This is heavy stuff. It's not the kind of thing that, you know, people just readily embrace. It takes some mental, some thinking, some Holy Spirit, and just some safety, which most of us don't feel as a people. I don't know. I have a few friends and colleagues that I feel safe with. And others, and you can't grow if you don't feel safe. You can't change. So that's really important. That's how our term love works came about, because love works is a place and a process. The love of God works. It does what it's supposed to do. But it only will work with you, in you, and for you if you submit yourself or subject yourself to the process of letting mm-hmm. God love you to health and to safety. Hope that makes sense. But let me
wow.
finish reading. It is no wonder that Jesus had specific women at his as his close followers in a culture that marginalized women. Because when Jesus came, patriarchy was in full effect, right along with the Roman Empire. He recognized the strengths of their souls. He often visited the home of Mary and Martha. Their strength was demonstrated by the presence of the women at the cross. There was only one male disciple at the cross, and that was John, who love works had already prepared to be there and to endure what he had to endure. So women, the feminine portion mm-hmm. of the creation of humanity, is a reflection of God too. And I have an explanation point behind that. And there's a real explanation about women and the term Isha in scripture, which means woman, or and Ish, which meant man. And it's interesting that Ish, which meant man, after the separation,
mm-hmm.
before the separation, before God separated male and female, he created them together, and then he separated them together because he had work for them to do where they needed to complement each other. First thing he said was, it's not good for man to be alone. And I heard somebody mm-hmm. say, that particular man, okay? And I'm like, okay, but I didn't think God isolated him or just specified that man. I think he was talking about men in general, but that's my opinion. So I'm forcing it. Somebody can complain. They can say they disagree. I'm totally open for that because a lot of people
Let me
don't.
Ask you something. Since uh-huh. you made that a point, do you uh-huh. think that's why there's so many women in church or on the job? Because even if a man is a CEO or he's in a place of authority, that also, I know we're talking about marriage and stuff like that. It's not good for a man to be alone. But he mm-hmm. operates in an area where women are, especially when women are in their particular field and they know it, mm-hmm. that union mm-hmm. of the operation operates so smoothly.
It does. I have, now this is my personal little theory, Joy, that there's a banking method, and it's from some leadership book I read, of giving and getting information. It's like you put the money in the bank, you make a demand, you draw it out. That's the way that most men lead. But women have what I call, now this is most, we're not talking about everybody, so anybody that wants to complain, we're totally open to hear. We know that this is just our opinion of what God has given us, but there's others. But think in terms of with women, we do things in groups more so than men. Now, men play in teams, but the teams depend on each other to get the job done. But when it's over, he goes his way, and the brothers that are working with him, males that are working with him, go other ways. Well, women have a tendency to do things in group, and I call that the midwife method. And in the midwife mm-hmm. method, when women have babies, there's other women around helping them have the babies. There's other mm-hmm. women around helping with the process. And this was before hospitals and doctors and all. But the method is everybody contributes. And this is something that I spoke about in the book as well. We called it ministry in the round. And that means, in my male colleague and partner at the time was in ministry, said that it simply means when your turn comes around, you do your part.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just sit and wait on somebody else to do it. It's your turn. Mm-hmm. Take your turn. Do it. And it was amazing because then they began to operate more in a midwife method because that was the type of leadership, meaning shared leadership. That's what this book is really all about. And when I went back to the Lord about it, he gave me Genesis. He said that if you read, it said that the Spirit hovered over creation. The Word made it happen, and God thought it. So that was shared leadership from the very beginning of creation of the world and humanity and everything in it. So we don't often think about God as a team player because it was a trinity, and their trinity's not written in the Bible, but you see three mm-hmm. presences, three very different functions going on mm-hmm. there. You see it again when Jesus was baptized, when he came to fix all the stuff that had gone wrong since Adam and Eve mm-hmm. got off base. So I don't know if that says anything to anybody, but it blessed me because it's like, okay, so God is in three persons, three mm-hmm. functions, like you are a mother and a woman and mm-hmm. a wife. Now, yes. all women are going to be married and all of them don't want to be. And all men are mm-hmm. going to be married and all of them don't want to be. But for right. those who are, that's a whole nother set of dynamics. But everybody's right. producing something, whether it's a child, whether it's a business, whether it's an idea that's in their imagination that they're bringing to pass. So everyone's a producer. It's just a question of, are you producing something that's helpful in life, or are you producing something that's not? So mm-hmm. we have to think about that very, very. Right. I mean, it's a serious thought is what okay. I'll say about it.
Okay, let me go ahead and take our commercial in here because I'm getting all too involved.
No, I'm happy, though. It's easy. Huh? Yeah, so it's easy to interact with you because you're open to learn and you already know a lot. So that helps.
Well, it's just so good, you know. This is elevation time. So let yeah. me go ahead, and then we're going to continue this conversation in just okay. one moment. Thank you, audience, okay. for your patience.
This is a Queen Banda Power Nugget.
Did you know our afflictions have value? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 lets us know our life. Afflictions, pressure, trials, and tribulations, which is but for a moment, a point in time, a season, a mark, significant, worketh, achieves, accomplishes for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight.
Okay, this is your host, Joy Brown, back with you, the Pastors for Punch TV studio, and our guest is author Dr. Velma Union, and I know you've been enjoying every bit of what we're talking about. Now, this information that we are talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is out of her book, and the book is called Is the Church the Church? And just to help you out a little bit, if you go onto the Facebook and pull up this show, which is part three, the information how you can get in touch with her has already been indoctrinated in the notes. It has the email address on there, and it has her phone number on there to get in touch with her, because I wanted to take a little bit more time and allow her to talk about this book. This wasn't even planned. This is something that the Holy Ghost had me to do today. I was reading the book, and I said, oh, my goodness, this is such on time. And I just talked to her, and when she wrote the book, this is revelation. This is manifestation. This is something that God wants the church to do now. And you know what I like about the Lord? No matter where we are now, he has a way of excelling you. You don't have to worry about where you are, whether or not he can redeem the time. You don't have to worry about whether or not his plan is going to be fulfilled when he said, oh, yes, it is. That's how he is. He's time. So whatever time and whatever he needs to do to get you in place for what he wants you to do, believe me, there's no problem. So now we have this book that I would suggest that you go and purchase it. And, of course, she's going to give you more information, but right now we're going to go right back into some things of what she's talking about. And this book is The Church, The Church. Dr. Velma, have your way.
Well, I'm saying, Lord, have your way, because you know what your people need, and I just desire to serve whatever it is you've given me, little morsels, big ones, and that your people are able to feed on it, digest it, and learn from it so that they can grow. Because that's the whole point. You created us to do something. Every last one of us, you created us with a purpose and a mission. Mine is to teach this stuff that he's dug out for me. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let me get back to the book, page 80. In the creation narrative of the woman's formation from the rib or the side of a man, of humanity now, not men with a pair of pants on, but male and female together, the passage indicates, this is Genesis 2:21-24, most profoundly, the inseparable unity and fellowship of her life with his. Far more than being a mere assistant or helper, Genesis 2:18, she is man's complement, essential to the perfection of his being. So now we're not talking about marriage per se, but we are specifically speaking about Adam and Eve then. Without her, he is not man in the generic fullness of that term. I heard a guy say one time, women make me inhuman. The priority of creation may indicate headship, but not, as theologians have so uniformly affirmed, superiority. In other words, you were here, we were here together first, and you remained the way you were, and then I was formed out of what you were, so God could bring us together to complement one another rather than compete with one another. That's one of my favorite sayings. We were made to complete one another, not
complete.
Even in the business arena, we work together. You can usually find situations that are complementary working well between male and female if they're doing something different. When you look at teams, each team member has a position to play. And if you know your position and you know how to be the best you can be at your position, then it will naturally meet the other team members' positions. So, therefore, we can accomplish what God intended for us to accomplish.
Yeah, that's unity.
Exactly. Yeah. You got it. You got it. You see, I told you, you know some stuff. Dependence indicates difference of function, not inferiority. Human values are estimated in terms of the mental and spiritual man and woman are endowed for equality, prowess, and are mutually interdependent. In other words, God made us to depend on him, and we are interdependent on each other. What you do affects me, and what I do affects you, and that goes all the way down to the laws of physics, okay? So everything God made is related. We just need to track it back to its source or origin. Human values are estimated in terms of mental and spiritual. Man and woman are endowed for equality and are mutually independent. I guess I needed to read that again. Physical strength and prowess cannot be rated in the same category with moral courage and the capacity to endure ill treatment, sorrow, and pain. And in these later qualities, women have always proved superior. In other words, we can endure pain. We can endure sorrow. But God gave us that ability when we had the children.
Yeah.
He said, greatly is your sorrow going to be multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
And man's historic treatment of woman, and whether due to his conceit, ignorance, or moral perversion, has taken her inferiority for granted, and it's not true. Such an attitude has thus furthered women's enslavement and degradation, and has caused a lot of them to be aggressive, where most women don't want to be. You know, I don't want to be on the front lines fighting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be at home. But if I got to be on the front lines, I'll do it. But my hope is that I can get off as quickly as possible. But, you know, I don't like it out there. I mean, I can function out there, and I have. Right, and I have. But you have to be on guard all the time. So it's pretty difficult for you to come home from a job where you're a boss and a leader and then surrender, unless you got the kind of husband that commands your surrendering, not demands by force, but commands like, look, baby, I love you.
Right.
I want you to do so and so and so and so. If you got men you work with that respect you, then that's where it all begins. God's command as a result of woman's stronger personality, her penalty for such ill-fated leadership was that her husband, we were talking about Eve back there in Genesis, and that's what helps make us strong. But Jesus died to give us freedom and liberty and redeem us from the curse of the law. So if that's the case, I'm not subject to that. I just have to learn how to be subject to God instead of the curse. And then I am blessed and able to move forward. That's me, you, and male and female alike.
Wow.
Yeah, my last statement on that is that Jesus set a new standard for women's value and treatment. Paul's message in the Galatians 3:25 through 28 makes this understanding evident. So you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have been made like him. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for we are all Christians. You are one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and now all the promises God gave to him belong to you.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We got to give you a shoot.
Got
to pray,
can we get an amen again? Come on. Listen, I did not plan for you to do this today, but I want the audience to purchase your book, because now I'm getting ready to kind of switch off on you a little bit, because we have about maybe 15 more minutes. And one of the things you mentioned yesterday is that you wanted to talk about the business, financial. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Always stewardship.
So give me 1 second, and we're going to do a roll call, and I'm going to bring you back on, and we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
There it is. I want you to go ahead and transfer that energy, and then we're going to talk about what you're offering as your service.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And let me ask you something. Do you, as far as your financial services and stewardships, because I know that was major on yesterday, give us a little bit what a person need to do in order to Do you do an assessment with people when you bring them on, when you help mm-hmm. them with their business, or what exactly mm-hmm. is your service about?
Yeah. Well, actually, we have conversations with them, and we find out what their vision and mission are, not only for their business, but for their life or their ministry. And then mm-hmm. we work with them to create the systems that will help support the success of their ministry or business or life. Because we all have a life. We all have some way we make money. And unless we're born independently wealthy, and I don't know a lot of people like that. I do know a few, but not a lot.
Okay.
And most of us need direction and stewardship. So my specialty is taxes, and I have affiliated people who work in insurance, in the legal field to preserve wealth, in the economic field to just teach us about predatory lending and all the kind of things that go on in our neighborhood that don't go on anywhere else. And the real estate market and the securities market, what's going on there? And how do we know what to do? And credit, borrowing money, how to when to borrow money and why to borrow money and what, you know, and all of this is covered in scripture.
So also, Dr. Velma, mm-hmm. far as business license, do you help people get business license or how to apply for it?
Yes, I have a whole course on how to start your own business, starting from the idea to the strategy for putting it together, to the licenses that you will need, the different permits you need based on where you are, the legal aspect. If it's a sole proprietorship, there's a way that that's handled. And if it's a corporation, we can help you with that. So we have a team of people, and we're all professionals. Everybody knows how to do what they know how to do. And mm-hmm. So, yes, we can take you, as one of my friends say, from womb to tomb.
Okay. Does that include the LLC?
Yes, any legal structure. See, that's why we have what we call – we have an acronym that God gave us called TILLERS, taxes, insurance, legal, which means structure or entity formation, and the best type based on your business or venture that you want to get into.
Okay.
And then the economics, understanding money and the system and the stewardship, which we really have a lot of work to do on. And then real estate, of course, everybody knows buying and selling. Some people have bought, some have not. Some want to, some don't. And then securities,
yes.
People want to invest in the market or have
yes.
an understanding of it. So that it
yes.
spells out TILLERS. And it's interesting that in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, God had not sent rain to make the earth flourish until he said, because there was no man to till the soil, no man
right.
to dig it up. And my personal take on our community is that we have so much wealth. It's equally as wealthy, the people in our community, as wealthy as the diamond mines in Africa.
Wow. Yes.
We
yes.
just need to know awesome. How to extract it. Got to dig it out,
right.
and you got to get it to market, and that's where the problem, you know, or the challenge lies.
So, how do are you by mostly referral? Most of the time, somebody refers somebody to you.
Uh huh. And see, we had a real active firm because I bought a firm initially, but now.
Yes.
We are kind of on an as appointment basis, and we're restructuring the way we do what we do. We're teaching more and walking people through, because I've found that the people you help get in business, and there's been a lot, don't do well if they don't understand what they should be doing. So we're offering the supportive services to help them set up systems that will ensure that their business are successful, from accounting systems, cash flow, writing checks, the appropriate insurance, whether to rent or buy an office, whether to rent or buy That's the real estate aspect, whether to rent or buy the equipment. I mean, there's just a lot of decisions based on whatever the person's desire is to manage. So we have to help them define it and then help them develop a strategy and then support them until they're able to go on to bigger and better things.
Awesome.
That's for the small businesses. You're already, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now legally, so if you have a house that need to be refinanced, are you, mm-hmm. do you have a program for that too?
I don't have the program, but I work with people that do.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying? I work with
yeah.
and refer. Because mm-hmm. there's so we have so many resources in our community that are not
right.
being utilized because everybody is their own little island. And we
right.
need to just have a place where we can know I can call and get the information I need. I can call and find out about a workshop. It's like a school, a business school without walls. And teachers are people who are actually doing the work as opposed to someone that's gone to school to learn about it. Because
mm-hmm.
there's techniques that, in fact, I was sharing this with somebody yesterday. There's so many things about being successful managers or successful business people or being successful parents or being successful individuals, male, female, separate, single, married, divorced, whatever. But you need somebody to tell you because when you're caught up in whatever the emotion is of the moment, you can miss it. Or the thrill
yeah.
of the moment, you can miss the little things that can make a difference. That's why experienced business people are necessary in order to help you get through it well without costing a whole lot. One of my things is that experience is the best teacher, and it is, but it's also the most costly. So if I can learn something, and I've learned a lot over my years, and I know a lot of other people who've learned a lot. So I'm not the only one. And so we
yeah.
can hand that off and share it with you so you don't have to pay for that lesson again.
Exactly.
And we've got to formalize it, or if not formalize it, just market it so that it's available to people because it's the little things. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. You can miss one little thing, and if you have a formula, you miss one of the numbers, even
mm-hmm.
in the coding that they do now, you miss a letter.
Oh.
Guess what?
Wow.
You miss the signature. You miss it.
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
we need each other. God made us to be interdependent, which is what I said earlier.
Right.
First with
exactly.
him, and then with one another. He made us to work together.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I heard somebody say that Dr. Velma Union is resourceful.
Yeah,
I don't
that
know
is true.
Who said that to me, but I heard somebody
yeah.
in a conversation, I believe
yeah.
one Sunday, the Sunday that I visit your church, and since
mm-hmm.
we're talking about that, I did not put that on the information. So give us the address
mm-hmm.
of your church service, and things like that.
Okay. Well, we are currently doing Bible study to form a ministry, a church. But right now we're meeting at 601 Grace Street, and that's behind St. Mary's Academy. It's a friend of mine's school. We meet at 10 o'clock every Sunday, and we're looking to start adding to our fellowship. You can see from the book, if you get the book, you can buy the book from our website. Our publisher is our nonprofit. We have a strategic three-part organizational structure. OneLightInternational.org, that's the website, is our basis. It's our community-based ministry. We serve the people. It's for public benefit. We have the Lord's Church International, which is our spiritual development arm. And then we have Velma Union and Associates, which will probably, we had formed a corporate, we'll go back to the Accent Financial Group, which was where we started with my son before he passed away. So we have three parts. We have the business part, we have the spiritual part, and we have the community part. 601 Gray Street, behind St. Mary's Academy, 90305, Inglewood, California. And you can call me, 310-968-5110 on my phone, or you can email me, my name, ValmaUnion@yahoo.com. The church website is being set up. One Light is already set up, and you can order the book, onelightinternational.org, and we'll be happy to ship it to you.
Good.
10 o'clock every Sunday.
Do you have online where they can go to a landing page and pay for it?
Yes. You can buy it right from the website.
Okay, good.
You awesome. Pay, I ship. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. And how much is the book?
It's normally $15, but if they say that Joy in the House referred them, then we'll give them a discount and we'll make it 10.
Awesome. That is good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we have, yes. Now, you guys heard that Joy, J-O-Y, in the house.
Yeah. Then we'll give them the punch discount.
Yes. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, you need to get this book for Valentine's Day, because some of you need this to talk to your spouses about your relationship, talk to your significant ones about the relationship. This is a relationship book, not only just
right.
for the church. This is strong, talking about the relationship. So this is I'm glad I have it. I'm glad I'm not married, so I can read it before I say yes. And I've read another book that really is helping me. My son recommended, but he and his wife are reading the book, but I'm going to refer this book to them also and let them read. I said, read this book, because it has a combination of your natural, your physical, and your spiritual all in one book.
Mm-hmm.
So we're running down on time. So what I'm going to do is just end this particular session with the people. And Dr. Velma, I truly honor your diligence and you working and getting this book into the people's hand. And there's more coming. But at this time, we want to say thank you so much for, again, being with us on 3 days straight. Nobody has done that. You are the first.
Wow.
But
it's a privilege.
Every bit of it. Yes.
And it's a privilege for me, Joy, because you can tell
excellent.
I get a kick out of teaching. Thank you for having us.
Mm-hmm. I did talk to our CEO, and I sent him a message. I said, you need to get this, listen to this today, because I think this is going to really help even the ministry that we're doing at Punch TV Studio. Mm-hmm. But listen, I don't want to run out of time, but I just want to let you guys know thank you for joining us. We'll be back on next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and you have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed day.
Thank you, Joy, and I pray that God multiplies for you and Punch
Thank
Studios
you.
That which
awesome.
You desire to accomplish. Thank you.
Thank you.
To the Lord, a new